This is SEC Talk.
What is going on, everybody? What is going on? Welcome back. We are back at it here. SEC Talk with your host, Holden. No Cody with me tonight, but either way, we're going to get this thing knocked out. As you can tell, if you're listening to this, you can probably still tell that I have a little bit of some sounding a little nasally. Still battling a little bit of this little sinus issue, but nonetheless, going to try to get the show to you guys. No YouTube tonight, just going to do this audio. Going to try to keep it pretty short, sweet, and simple, and run through the top 25 that came out earlier. Not a lot of news, a little bit to get to maybe. But run through this top 25. We're going to run through and review the week 4 games that we had. Had some really good ones, had some games that were not so good around the SEC. And slightly preview a couple that are going to come up next week because they're going to be pretty big. We'll also go back through and review our picks from this past week. Again, we didn't have any audio or video up for the previewing these games, but we did at least get our picks up that we put up on the Facebook page as well as on Twitter. Speaking of that, follow us on Twitter at SECTalk20. You can follow a lot of content that we put up there. Usually whatever we put up there, we also put up on Facebook. So if you want to reach out on Facebook as well, you should just be able to search SEC Talk on Facebook and find us there. Not sure if you put in SEC Talk 20, may still find us. But just check us out on either of those if you guys feel inclined to do that. Also, in the description of this podcast, the support link will be there. If you guys feel like supporting the show, you can click on that link. It has three options for donations, whether it's $1, $5, or $10, if you guys feel inclined to support the show. Feel free to do that as well. Again, I will leave that link in the description. But as far as that goes, let's jump right into it. Let's start off with the AP Top 25 that dropped earlier today. Alabama and Georgia, the only two teams in the SEC to really take care of business like they should have this past weekend's games. And both of them still sit at the top. Alabama at 1, Georgia 2. Oregon staying steady there at 3. Penn State jumps up a couple of there to the 4 spot. Iowa at 5. Oklahoma falling a couple spots down to 6 after not the greatest performance this past weekend. Cincinnati, they jump up a spot to 7. Arkansas, after the big win over number 7, Texas A&M at the time, they jump on up 8 spots to that 8 spot. So we got a top 10 matchup coming up this weekend in Athens between Arkansas and Georgia. We're going to get to that in some of the little bit of previewing the upcoming weekend's games. Notre Dame jumping up to 9 after a big win over Wisconsin. Florida jumps up a spot to 10. Ohio State falls down to 11. Ole Miss jumping up a spot there to 12. Another big matchup. Top 15 matchup there going to happen in Tuscaloosa with number 12 traveling to number 1 Alabama. Again, that's something we're going to get to nearing the end of this episode. You guys make sure you stay tuned. Some of the previewing of those couple of big games that we've got coming up with this weekend. Obviously, later on in the week on Thursday's show, or actually it'll be Friday's show, excuse me, I will also have the preview. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we're all going to stay healthy and get rid of this crud, and we will have a show to you guys on Friday. But picking up right where we left off there, 13 BYU, 14 Michigan. A&M does fall down to 15. Coastal Carolina at 16. Michigan State at 17. Fresno State jumping up to 18. Oklahoma State at 19. UCLA at 20. Baylor at 21, coming into the top 25. Oklahoma State there at 19. They also jumped into the top 25. Auburn somehow jumps a spot up to 22 after struggling with Georgia State. We're going to get there. NC State in the rankings after taking down, at the time, number 9 ranked Clemson. They jump up to 23rd. Wake Forest also jumping up to 24 in the top 25. And Clemson falling all the way down to 25th. Clemson, I don't think I've seen Clemson that far down in a ranking in a long, long time. Strange to see, but it is what it is. Some of the big pickups, obviously, Arkansas jumping up 8 spots there. Michigan jumping up a good bit. Texas A&M falling pretty heavily. Basically, Texas A&M and Arkansas just about swapped spots off just one, because I think Arkansas was 16, A&M was 7. So, still pretty close there either way. But you got some teams in the top 25 there on the coaches poll. Kentucky actually cracks that top 25 at 23rd. So I kind of figured they might find themselves in the top 25 by the time they play Georgia in a couple of weeks. Depends on how that game goes. I think they've got Florida coming up this weekend. Yeah, so that's going to be a pretty good matchup. May determine who finishes second in the SEC East Maybe I shouldn't say that. There's a long way to go still, and the Florida-Georgia game could turn out to be a really good one. Georgia will get their test this weekend with Arkansas coming to their house. So let's jump into some of the games. Let's start off there with Georgia. Big slate of games coming up this weekend. And this past weekend, we had a couple of tight ones, a couple of good ones. But Georgia and Vanderbilt was not. Georgia absolutely rolls Vanderbilt 62-0. Put in three quarterbacks in this game. Check this out. Crazy stat for you here. Georgia scores 62 points and holds Vanderbilt to a whopping 77 yards. Total yardage for Vanderbilt was 77 yards. I get it. I know what you're saying. Hey, guys, it's just Vandy. It's not that big a deal. To hold a team to 77 total yards over four quarters of football is unheard of, even if it is Vandy. We're not talking about a team that's in the FCS, even though at this point maybe Vandy should be there. But they are in the SEC somehow. Sorry, Vandy fans. Right now, y'all have been down for a number of years, but this year is probably the worst of them all. Kind of excited about that UConn-Vandy game coming up this weekend just because it may be the greatest game Vandy's ever played. But anyways, back to it. Georgia rolls, scoring 35. Five touchdowns in the first quarter. Another crazy stat for you. Georgia averaged a touchdown every 2 minutes and 22 seconds. And in the middle of that first quarter, Georgia scored three times in approximately a minute and 20 seconds in that first quarter. Three times in a minute and 20 seconds. Again, scoring five times in the first quarter, making it 35-0. Rolled on, got the shutout, shut them down. Jumping down to the next game, kind of just going in order, starting there at lunchtime. Had a few kicks there at lunch that rolled on, and then obviously, you know, you roll into those normal 3:30 games and some of that fun stuff. Let's jump down to that LSU-Mississippi State game. We'll get to the picks in just a little while. LSU does pull this one out by a field goal, though, 28-25. And really the only reason it was that close is because Mississippi State putting up points there in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, really. A couple of touchdowns came in to try to make it close, as well as a two-point conversion. But unfortunately, just could not get the onside kick there at the end of the game to be able to make it happen, but did pull within a field goal. Mississippi State was, I think they may have been, no, they may have been an underdog coming in this one. I'd have to look back at the picks, which we'll get to in just a minute. Will Rogers threw the ball 62 times. 47 for 62, 371 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception on the other side of the ball. Max Johnson, 17 for 27, 284 touchdowns and an interception. Both of them throwing interceptions in this game. But just really a back-and-forth battle throughout the entire night. LSU takes a lead. Mississippi State tries to get a little closer. LSU at one point did take enough of a lead to be up 21-3 late in the third quarter before a touchdown pass from Will Rogers to Makai Polk for 29 yards. Really 30 seconds left, I guess, in the third quarter there. Made it 21-10. Started to cut that lead in half a little bit. And then coming into the fourth, Cole Taylor scoring there from Max Johnson on a 41-yard touchdown pass for LSU. Put them back up 28-10, and although Mississippi State gets those two later touchdowns in the fourth quarter, again, it just was not enough to keep up in this game. Max Johnson looked pretty good in this one. Started to look really good. Again, LSU taking that one 28-25. Jumping down to the upset of the weekend, I guess if you want to call it an upset as far as ACC teams beating an SEC team, and this one was Boston College. I think Boston College is ACC. I should probably look at that before I say it. But I'm gonna assume they are. I know Wake Forest is, and they're in the top 25, and that's kind of shocking. But Boston College pulls it off in overtime, 41-34 over Missouri. Connor Bazelak, you can't make mistakes. I've said it all year long. He made a couple in this one, and that made the difference in the game. 303 yards through the air, one touchdown, but two picks. Tyler Batty did his job, 72 yards, two touchdowns on the ground. But unfortunately, and really in this game, it really took a late surge in the fourth quarter for Missouri to make a game of it. Missouri, coming into the fourth quarter, trailed this one 27-17 before they started to make a run back at it. And what happened here in the fourth quarter, right there really getting things kicked off 24-27, and then Missouri actually takes the lead 31-27. Before, check this out, 25 seconds left, Boston College gets a touchdown. Get a touchdown with 25 seconds left to take the lead 34-31. Thought the game was over. And then Harris Mevis comes in for a 56-yard field goal as time expires to tie it up 34-34. But Zay Flowers on a 10-yard touchdown pass from Dennis Grossel. And this one in overtime ended up being the difference with Boston College again taking Missouri down 41-34. That one was in Boston College, so made a big difference in it. Big game of the weekend, really the game of the weekend. Number 7, Texas A&M traveling down to 16, Arkansas. What a great game. KJ Jefferson, he was the answer for Arkansas in this game. And absolutely lit the world on fire. Didn't have to throw for a lot. Only threw the ball 15 times. 7 for 15, so right there at that 50% mark. 212 yards, but 2 touchdowns. But he ran the ball as well. He was really, really good with his legs. Made big difference on that Texas A&M defense that we've been kind of harping on being really good. But the question for Texas A&M is, when are they going to get the offense going? The bad part is, you know, you got Haynes King that goes out. Zach Calzada comes in, does a fairly good job in spots, but unfortunately in this one just couldn't do enough. 20 for 36, 151 yards through the air and 1 interception, no touchdowns through the air. Only touchdown came from Isaiah Spiller. He did carry the ball 12 times, 95 yards for a touchdown, but I mean, really the whole story, the entire game was Arkansas and KJ Jefferson. I mean, KJ, you know, throwing a couple touchdowns, one to Traylon Burks on an 85-yard bomb down the right side there in the first quarter to make it 10-0 for Arkansas. And then another 48-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Green, really starting that second quarter off. And Arkansas took a big lead, 17-0. 21 seconds left there before the half, and Texas A&M kicks a field goal, which really right before that, Arkansas could have went up 20-0 at the half, but instead of kicking the field goal, they went for it on fourth down, and it didn't work out for them. Turned into a Texas A&M field goal. And then halfway through the third quarter, Isaiah Spiller, that's where he got his big 67-yard touchdown run on the night, making it 10-17, getting a little bit closer there, but really it ended up not mattering because Arkansas's defense stood up from that point, and KJ Jefferson got a little banged up in this one. And I think that's the only reason Arkansas didn't really end up scoring more than they did. I know that, what is it, Malik Hornsby, I think it was, is who came in for KJ as a backup. He did pretty good. The thing about that was they had, obviously, you have a little bit of a step down from that QB1 position with him coming in. But the good thing for Arkansas is they've got that threat in the air, but they also have the threat on the ground between running backs and the quarterback. Having that running quarterback made a big difference for Arkansas, and KJ was the answer to this one. Luckily, they were up enough by the time he kind of got banged up later getting pushed out of bounds that it didn't matter. Arkansas was able to hold on to it. That defense was able to hold on and stop Texas A&M from scoring. And really, they didn't score but a field goal there in the fourth quarter for the rest of the game after that. So credit out to Arkansas. Turns out to be a huge game this upcoming weekend, traveling to Athens to play number 2 Georgia, and it turns out to be a top 10 matchup. As well, again, we're going to get to that shortly. Unfortunate for A&M, I had pretty big plans for them. I knew Arkansas was going to be pretty good. I didn't think they were going to be quite this good coming into it. Looking at my preseason picks on the year, I did not have Arkansas winning this one. But, you know, things happen. College football is wild, and we're starting to learn that maybe Texas A&M's defense is pretty good. I mean, to hold Arkansas to 20 there was good, but KJ Jefferson getting banged up, I think Arkansas would have been good for at least another touchdown in this one, not to mention, obviously, that field goal that they decided not to go for. They could have won this ball game probably 30-10 had they gone for that field goal and KJ not gotten a little beat up in this one. But in the end, like I say, Arkansas 20, Texas A&M 10. What a great game. Another great game, and it shouldn't have been. Georgia State, Auburn. What in the world, Auburn? What in the world is going on down there? We'll say this. Bo Nix, I'm fairly certain, has finally lost his job. Cody and I have kind of harped on this for really the past couple of years, last year and this year, that Bo Nix is just so inconsistent, and he was in this one. 13 for 27, 156 yards before they finally decide to bring in the backup there in wow, I'm blanking on T.J. Finley. Yeah, he looked really good. Came in and actually started to make the ball move pretty well there for Auburn. But the bad thing is, at one point, Auburn was down 24-10 at the half, matter of fact. Down 24-10 to Georgia State. Good thing is, from that half on, they stopped Georgia State from scoring anymore. And they finally decided to score a few times. It took really until 45 seconds left in the game on a fourth, I think it was like fourth and six or fourth and seven, for T.J. Finley to connect with Cedric Jackson for a 10-yard touchdown pass in the end zone. Had that ball fallen, Auburn loses. And then right after that, you know, they kick it off, and then Georgia State throws a pick six for Smoke Monday with a 36-yard pick six on the game to make it look a little bit better than it was, making it 34-24. In the end, it was really 27-24 was really your final there. Auburn did not look good. Still crazy that they jumped up one in the ranking, but I think the only reason that is because it's just such a crazy year. It's a crazy year. There's only 26 teams left unbeaten this season. Auburn not looking really good in that one. And I was really surprised with that being at Jordan-Hare. Let's jump down to another game that was pretty good for the first half, but from that point on, Florida pretty much rolls. Tennessee traveling down to Gainesville, take on number 11, Florida. Emory Jones, he came up pretty big, looked good in this one as well. I know I've had my criticism of Emory Jones in the past, and I still kind of have it, but he's slowly but surely starting to win me over. He ends up 21-27 on the night, really nice. 209 yards, two touchdowns. Finally, he did not make a mistake. Also ran the ball. Check this out, 15 carries, 144 yards. So he did it all. He did exactly what we've been saying that we wanted to see Anthony Richardson come in and do, because Richardson has done exactly what Emory Jones decided to do against Tennessee. But at the half, like I was saying, this was a tight ball game. Tennessee had the lead in the second quarter, 14-10, and then right there, four minutes and 15 seconds left before the half, Naquan Wright gets a 23-yard touchdown run, and that puts Florida up 17-14 at the half. And then Florida pretty much took off from there and ends up winning this one 38-14. Looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with that. Hendon Hooker, he looked pretty good in this for Tennessee, 13-23, 221 yards, two touchdowns on the night. In the end, again, Florida picking up another SEC an SEC victory here and another win to improve to 3-1. Again, they were ranked 11th. They now move into that top 10 at the 10 spot, up one spot there. So get to see that coming up. Another tight one in the race, Kentucky and South Carolina. I did not expect this one to be as close as it was. We'll get to the picks here in just a minute once I finish this next one. But Kentucky, they still improved to 4-0, but 16-10 over South Carolina. Not very impressive. Will Levis didn't look nearly as good as he's looked in games previous. 102 yards, one pick on the night. Chris Rodriguez was the only one to actually get a touchdown there for Kentucky, and that was in the first quarter. No, actually, it was Kvassier Smoke, 15-yard touchdown run. After that, just field goals. Three field goals coming from Matt Ruffalo for Kentucky to be able to go on from there and score 16. You get a touchdown for Jalen Brooks from Luke Doty being their starter in there again for South Carolina, that being in the third quarter. But just a really boring game overall. Luke Doty does go 17-25, 158 yards and a touchdown on the night, but in the end, it didn't matter. Kentucky, 16-10 over South Carolina. Really surprised that one ended up being as close as it was. And another team to take care of business, Alabama. Alabama, 63-14 over Southern Miss. Only two teams in the country at this point that are actually playing like the top teams in the country is number one, Alabama, and number two, Georgia. Both taking care of teams when they're supposed to. You look at like a Kentucky in this situation, letting a South Carolina hang with them, a team that just got absolutely dimed by Georgia last week. You look at an Auburn who's playing a Georgia State. It's like they didn't realize it was Georgia State. They thought it was Georgia or something, and they changed their colors to blue. Why in the world they let Georgia State play with them, I don't know. Should have taken care of business. There's, like I say, in these games, this is when teams should be taking over and just taking teams out, and there shouldn't be that much of a worry coming into this one. Wanted to pull up some of the stats here for Alabama for you guys real quick. All right, so really the only thing that I'm going to talk about kind of quickly in this one was Bryce Young, 20-22, 313 yards, five touchdowns on the night. Looked good, just like you would expect him to. And then Roydell Williams actually ends up being the lead rusher for Alabama there. Kind of surprising, but again, a lot of that's just because of the backup duties. Once you come in and run the ball all throughout the rest of the game, you know, 11 carries, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Jahiel Billingsley ends up being the leading receiver there for Alabama, 5 receptions, 105 yards, and a touchdown. In the first half, Alabama was up 42-0, 21 in the first, 21 in the second, a touchdown in the third, and then they rack on two more in the fourth to make that one 63-14 in the end. Southern Miss scoring there in the second and the fourth quarter. To wrap that up, all right, just going to pull up a couple of the other big games around the country real quick before we jump back to some of the previewing of next week. Really just some of the bigger games. Number 12, Notre Dame taking down Wisconsin bigly, 41-13. That game was actually extremely tight starting the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden Notre Dame's offense came alive and Wisconsin's defense left the building. They took off, I think they scored like 31 points there in the fourth quarter to make that one 41-13. Coastal Carolina, they took care of business. Iowa struggled with Colorado State, 24-14. Baylor upsetting Iowa State, 31-29. NC State, like we talked about, upsets Clemson, 27-21. In double overtime, Clemson more than likely out of the college football playoff talk for the first time since 2015. Some people thought that Clemson and Alabama would get their rematch this season. Doesn't look like that one's happening. Michigan struggled with Rutgers, 20-13. UCLA struggling with Stanford, 35-24. Michigan State took overtime to take down Nebraska, 23-20. Oklahoma State, like we talked about earlier, not really upsetting Kansas State, 31-20, but considering they weren't ranked, I guess you could call it that. Oklahoma struggling mightily with West Virginia, 16-13. That's a reason that they dropped down a few spots. And kind of a strange one here, Georgia Tech. You know, they kind of put up a tight number there against Clemson the week previous, and then all of a sudden they come in here and upset North Carolina, 45-22. And it truly was an upset in this one, because 45-22, that's not a close game. That was just a whooping. That's all there is to that. Oregon, Arizona. Oregon takes care of business, 41-19. That was a little bit closer there in the third quarter as well. BYU kind of struggling with South Florida, 35-27. I mean, I'm serious. Some of these teams in the top 25 are having struggles. That's the only reason I can think that Auburn actually jumped a spot playing in that. All right, let's see here. I'm going to get some of the Week 5 previews. While that's pulling up, though, I'm going to pull up our picks from this past weekend, and I'm going to go through. Again, I know we didn't have any audio on this, but hey, I'll give you some audio on it now and go through it. Just the SEC here. Georgia Vandy, both Cody and I picked Georgia to win that one. I also took the line -35 for Georgia. Hit on all those. LSU Mississippi State, Cody and I both took Mississippi State. I also took Mississippi State +2.5. Just did miss on that one. Vegas knows something I don't know, clearly. Missouri, Boston College, we decided to stick with our SEC roots, and both of us fall on that one after Boston College takes Missouri down. A&M and Arkansas, the one thing that Cody and I differed on this week, it was this game. Cody went with A&M, I went with Arkansas. I also took +4.5. I had a good feeling about Arkansas in this one. Again, my preseason ranking did not add up to the same thing as our weekly. You know, that changes weekly, and I pulled for Arkansas in this one, and they did it. We both took Auburn and Georgia. For the rest of this, they'll all be the same. We both took Auburn and Auburn against Georgia State. We got that. Both of us took Florida against Tennessee. We got that. Both of us took Kentucky against South Carolina. I also took Kentucky -5 at the time when I took it. Got that. Both of those, because it ended up by 6, luckily. Alabama, Southern Miss. Both of us took Alabama in that one. Let's see. I thought I had. Yeah, I had my finals here. Yeah, here we go. So Cody improves. He goes 5-3 this week. I ended up 9-3 again. That's just because of the 3 extra picks that I had, and then I actually have one incorrectly on my line picks. Cody improving to 38-11 on the season. I'll move up to 52-12 this season as far as the picks go. Now, previewing a little bit what we've got coming up here, Week 5. Some games that may be big. We're going to start outside of the SEC. We'll jump back into the SEC after this. Number 5, Iowa traveling to Maryland. Both teams undefeated in the Big Ten. Iowa's only a 3.5-point favorite. This is something to watch. All right, Tua's brother. Let me just put it that way. You know who I'm talking about if you're an SEC fan. I don't need to say his name. Tua's brother, who is the Maryland quarterback there, he has been lighting it up through the air. He's got over 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns on this season. Maryland could come in here and upset a top five team in Iowa right here and find themselves in the rankings after this. Another one, BYU traveling to Utah State. Don't sleep on Utah State here. BYU is an 8.5-point favorite, but, you know, that is what it is. Another big one here, Michigan and Wisconsin. Oddly enough, Wisconsin's actually a 1-point favorite. 14-4-0, Michigan traveling to 1-2 unranked Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's a 1-point favorite at the house. Maybe that's because Michigan's offense has some questions when Wisconsin's defense has been good. I don't know. Something to keep an eye on. We've got a lot of great games. This Week 5 slate has turned into probably one of the best weekends of college football we've got coming up. Because look what we got next at 12:30. Louisville and Wake Forest. That's a big one. Number 7 and number 9. Number 7, Cincinnati, and number 9, Notre Dame. Another top 10 matchup. That's happening. Oregon, Stanford. That's probably going to be a good one. Oklahoma, Kansas State. That always seems to be a good one. Ohio State and Rutgers. I'm just saying, Rutgers isn't bad. Rutgers could have beat Michigan this past weekend. I don't know why that line was at 20 for Michigan. I should have taken that as my pick instead of, I think I took Wisconsin over Notre Dame in another show, but that's for another day. Baylor, Oklahoma State. That's a good one. Indiana, Penn State. Don't sleep on that one. Boston College, Clemson. Boston College is 4-0. Clemson, 2-2. Boston College is still not ranked. It's in Clemson, but hey, keep an eye on that one. We could see Clemson fall 3 times this season. Auburn, LSU, that's going to turn out to be a really good one. Arizona State, UCLA, that's going to be a good one. Fresno State, Hawaii. Fresno State's going to beat the snot out of Hawaii. That's all there is to that. Sorry, I know I said it, Auburn, LSU in there when I said I was going to get to the SEC in just a minute. I'll get all that to pull up here. So, out of the top 25 at least, you do have Auburn and LSU at 9 o'clock. I'm not going to dive deep into these because we're going to get into them coming up. Mississippi State at Texas A&M at 7 o'clock. That's going to be a good one after the way that one looked. Florida, Kentucky. That's a good one. Kentucky undefeated. It is in Lexington. May matter. Ole Miss, Alabama. You talking about a showdown that happened last year? Ole Miss could have pulled it out. We'll get to our picks this week. I'm not going to say anything here because I just have a hunch on this one. Alabama is a 14.5-point favorite coming into this one, over under 77.5. They may need to move that over under up to about 120 if they can do that, because I think both teams are probably going to score 77.5 in this one. Number 8, Arkansas traveling to number 2, Georgia. That's where College Game Day is going. Georgia opening as an 18-point favorite. It's pretty surprising there. SEC Nation will also be at Ole Miss, Alabama. They're in Tuscaloosa, so if any Alabama fans were upset about game day going to Athens, at least you get SEC Nation, I guess. That's the top 25 SEC. Let me get our other. Tennessee, Missouri, probably going to be a good one there at 12 o'clock. South Carolina, Troy, don't sleep on Troy. UConn, Vandy, I'm looking forward to that one just because it's going to be the bottom of the barrel game. And that's the only other ones outside of the top 25 because I think you actually do. I didn't realize Ole Miss actually had the bye last week, and that's another reason that I've just got a hunch about this one coming up with Ole Miss and Alabama. We'll get to it later on this week. We'll get to it. I wanted to look back at our top 20, or not our top 25, our top 4 college football playoff preseason picks. Cody's Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Notre Dame. Mine, Georgia, Oklahoma, Clemson, Bama, or Texas A&M. Right now, both of us can basically take Clemson off that list. Oklahoma, they're hanging on by a thread. Georgia and Bama both look good. Notre Dame's looking pretty decent there for Cody. Texas A&M on my list can pretty much disappear. I think we may actually redo those this week and kind of like a not quite halfway through the season, but 5 weeks into the season, we'll redo them and kind of see how we feel about them. Also, USC also fell this past weekend. Another thing to look at there as far as outside of the SEC. But, again, told you guys I was going to keep this short, sweet, and simple for you guys this week. Or not this week, but for this Monday episode, just to keep it easy. But, again, I'm hoping I will come back in should be able to come back in for the Friday show and get you guys geared up for this upcoming week. Again, we've got some huge games coming up this weekend. I'm looking forward to it, excited about it. Should be really good. So let's all just look forward to that. I'm going to wrap it up with that. Why not, right? Again, you guys follow us on Twitter at SEC Talk 20. Check us out on Facebook there as well. Just search SEC Talk and you can find us there. Really appreciate it. We'll be back on YouTube later this week. Go and subscribe there as well. Give us that thumbs up. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Appreciate it.